Davin's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a bad tip. I'm your host, Davin Rosebud. I am joined by Joe Curry and Pip Helix. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Another jam-packed show for the folks today. We will be talking with Pakistan's number one comic, Saad Sirwana, about what it is like being a Muslim in this country during a time with heightened rhetoric and fear. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are fearful. Also, a CNN reporter gets suspended for tweeting an opinion. And we'll be talking with Vincent of Portobello's in Oakland, New Jersey, about the new trend that's starting up at Joe's Crab Shack. Tom Colicchio of Craft Restaurants, he's a celebrity chef. He started in one of his restaurants. The new trend where we're not going to tip anymore at the restaurant, but prices might be a little bit higher. So we're going to talk to Vincent about that, whether it's a good thing, bad thing, indifferent thing, what you should expect in that situation. So I blogged about this topic this past week. You could go to davinsden.com, where our blogs are now, davinsden.com. And I was talking about all the political and religious discussions that are now on Facebook. Because, you know, remember when we were growing up, you didn't talk about politics or religion in polite conversation.
No, that was actually specifically told to you. Those are the things you don't talk about.
Yes.
Yes.
And it seemed like we all got along better repressing things.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, it's
it seemed like the less you knew, the happier we were as a society. But now we all want to get our opinion out there, and I don't know if we're as happy now, knowing what the person who you thought you had so much in common with, you are so diametrically opposed to in so many important things.
Well, it's funny because there's a girl I grew up with who is my Facebook friend, and as you know, I'm kind of a right winger.
No,
and she is a very, you know, she is a very, you know, a left wing, you know, person, and she wrote me. She goes, "Are you a right wing person?"
She didn't know.
I that's what I said. I didn't know.
You responded, "Are you a blind person?"
Yeah, but I feel, you know,
have
I
you
feel,
lost your hearing?
Don't you see the memes, woman?
Yeah. So you feel funny, but you know that's my conviction. You know, you got to stand. You got to stand by that.
Well, it's what you. It's fine. But there was a. But this here's a girl that you grew up with. You've known forever, and she didn't know this about you.
Yes,
she thought she knew you really well.
Yes.
But she didn't. But here's the thing: Facebook and Twitter and all the social media, it was designed to bring us together as a society.
Do you think it was?
It's called social media. It's not called anti-social discourse.
Yeah, but it's social media amongst humans. Have you noticed how we get along?
But it was designed, I think, to connect with people that, you know, you used to know, and maybe coworkers. You know, it's designed to bring people together. I don't think it's designed to troll. I mean, that's what it has become. But I think it was designed to be an improvement upon our life.
Well, I don't know. Trolling necessarily means that you're putting something out there that's incendiary for up.
If you talk about religion or politics, a troll will show up.
Oh yeah.
it's like I Dream a Genie. If you say like Genie, come out of the bottle, Genie shows up. You post,
yeah.
Well, I think such and such is a horrible president. Oh, here you go. It's time to troll. You know, whatever the party is, somebody's going to troll.
Yeah, whatever your particular side is, or whichever faction you're with, somebody else is on the other side and thinks that you're an idiot.
I tell you, though.
I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to cut you off. But you mentioned the key word. Like, you find that people who you thought were very intelligent human beings, whatever side of the argument you're on, because whatever side you're on is right. And what other side you're on, the other person's on, is wrong.
Of course.
That on the internet. But I find myself going, I thought such and such was a lot smarter than this. Gosh darn, they're dumb. I find that's what social media does now. People who I held in a higher esteem, I go, oh, that was foolish. I mean, they're a bunch of nitwits.
Well, that's your opinion. That's why you feel that your side is correct.
Well, everybody does. You that's know. What I'm saying. I didn't say what my side was. I'm saying if you have such and such opinion, very often you think, how can they think this way?
It just, you know, it just seems that I might take a break from it because I got, you know, I got things to do. Like on a Sunday, I got to do my bills. I got to do that. And next thing you know, I'm in an argument with somebody. I'm going research. I'm checking Snopes. I got to sell my house. I got to move. And I'm doing this. You posted that thing with Trump. About the letting the refugees in, and I had a
no. It wasn't the refugees; it was the database.
The database. I posted
how that is against, if you're a conservative, it's against conservative values.
Well, what happened was that day, that was like on Friday, so I was looking to get a whole bunch of points. I had a whole bunch of points. I actually started...
Joe, when would be best for me to post so that you could respond?
We have to discuss this, because I...
I've been selfish in my posting.
I'm at lunch at the day program, and then I'm getting this together. I go, let me put it up on Word, do it on Word, so everything, the spelling's double-checked and all this other thing. And then I go, well, I'm going home, and I'll finish it up there. And I got home. I wound up falling asleep. Then Saturday rolls around, and I had to take care of some things. I had two shows down in Jersey. Sunday rolls around, and then I have to do the clips together for iHeart stuff. So it's like I forget about it.
Oh, you mean we all missed out on your memes and wisdom?
Yes.
Oh, now I know when to post on Fridays.
He's too busy to get back to you.
He's revealed his hands. If I want less grief, either block Joe, which I don't want to do.
Well, it's like what we discussed last week, when you notice that people sometimes get belligerent, and sometimes if we allow it on our pages. But like I said last week, we're so busy checking facts, going to Snopes, checking here, going to Fox News, going to MSNBC.
I thought you said facts.
Going MSNBC, going back and forth, and trying to make sure that your point, you know, is what you where you want it, what you want it, and with backup. And, you know, sometimes you're not.
But that's a very, what you're describing is not what the average person does with social media.
No, not at all. Yeah.
It's more like when your father says, well, I told you to, and that's why.
Yeah.
knee jerk.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Do you know how much I want to go, they should just impeach Obama, and then go rake my leaves. You know?
You know? He drops the keyboard. Ouch.
I'm getting yard work done because
hurry
of this.
Out. No, I'm the same way, though.
To get ready for a divorce. I don't have time.
Isn't there something I should be working on? Yeah, well, this person's a nitwit and needs my attention immediately. Because I'm going to change their mind. But I've never seen anybody's mind change. Go.
No.
I've never seen anybody go, you know what? You were right. I had not thought of it like that. Thank you for clarifying with facts and documentation and logic. I've never seen that.
No, I actually had a moment of that where somebody posted something and they were trying to put together the KKK as Christians versus ISIS as Muslims.
No, you go Westboro. That's the parallel right there. You go your Westboro Baptist Church.
Well, yeah,
that's the parallel,
and it is a better parallel. But the person
should have been consulted.
But I didn't post this. Yeah. Somebody else posted this and said, you know, there are no better example of Christians than they are of Muslims. And then somebody else jumped in and said, well, what do you mean about the KKK? They're running around yelling, you know, about Allah and killing people. And I said, and the other guys were stringing up black men and burning crosses on lawns
but
in the name
Christmas.
Of Christianity.
No.
Yeah, no.
Oh, stringing up lights. I get the two confused. I'm sorry.
Lights,
I'm Jewish. I don't know your traditions. I apologize.
Oh, God. So awful. No, and so the person was, I'm like, yeah, but they were doing this. And then the person said to me, oh, yeah, good point. And I almost fell because they were
that person obviously was on medication.
I know. They were all ready to argue with the, you know,
but
poster.
But you did something today that I never see. Pip posted something, Joe, brace yourself. It was untrue and unflattering about Donald Trump, and it was in meme form.
It wasn't right.
And I researched, because I didn't think it was right, and I researched. I go, well, actually, he never said that. Now, Pip, being the fine, upstanding woman she did, she took it down.
I did.
More often than not, you'll go, no, no, this is what. But the facts, no, no. Like, they doubled down.
And I knew that you had researched it, and you said, no, that's actually Sue. And I said, darn it, I fell for it. I actually posted something without researching it myself first, because it felt like something evil he would say, and so I went with it. And
it's in his genre,
his MO.
Yes, it was part of his MO. I posted it, and I thank you for telling me that it was wrong, because I don't want to I don't want to spread things that are just gossip and rumor.
And I appreciate that, but a lot of people are like, well, if it fits their agenda,
they'll keep it up.
That's why when people go, oh, you're all left wing. No, I'm holding both sides of the fire.
Yeah,
yeah, because you got you caught flack on that whole thing last week. What was the?
I catch flack on.
Oh gosh, from liberals, it was.
Oh, I didn't catch my petition.
The petition,
yeah, but it had nothing to do with facts. Nothing to do with facts.
But you still caught flack.
I get flack from everybody.
I understand, but mostly you usually don't get caught Catch flack from the left wing on that.
Because they're too smart. They know better. it's only the right that dare to challenge me, Joseph. I don't know what you'd be thinking. But Joe's right. At least he does try to do research, which I appreciate. But I think social media, tearing us apart. But yeah. We're going to try to bring this all together. We're going to try to unite this country. So don't go anywhere. Because when we come back, we're going to be talking to Pakistan's number one comic, Saad Sirwana, about what it's like to be a Muslim living in the United States, was what's going on. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We hope you are having a splendid day wherever you may be. So, before I went to break, I told you we were going to be talking to Pakistan's number one comic, Saad Sirwana. Saad is with us now. How are you, Saad?
Hey, how's it going, Davin?
It is going fantastic. Thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be on.
Okay, so, Saad, I've known you. How long have I known you? Over 15 years, right?
I would say about that long.
How long have you been living in the United States, Saad?
Oh, since 1997.
1997. Before that, were you in Canada?
I was in Canada for a little while. Before that, I was in Pakistan.
Okay. Okay, so are you an American citizen at this point?
Yes, of course I am. I can't live here that long without becoming a U.S. citizen.
Ah, so he did it the legal way. You're one of the good ones. Thank you, Saad.
I came in through the system, baby.
when I think of Pakistan's number one comic, I think of a system follower. That's what I think of with Saad. Now, I remember, this is what triggered my mind, because I remember actually talking to you, I want to say within an hour, that the towers fell on 9/11. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I would say that. So I had a gig that day, and it was canceled, and yeah.
How inconvenient of them, Saad.
Right.
The gig may have been my gig, because I had a gig that night.
At the Firehouse.
Fireman's Pub. In Butler, New Jersey.
I was supposed to do that show.
Yes, I believe I was on that one, or it was one of your gigs.
Yeah, that was the one.
That was
the one, and I remember having to call. The owner was a fireman. And I remember having to call him. I go, it was the first show. I go, oh, we're not doing a show tonight. So I go, what do you mean? People have reservations. I'm like, dude, the towers came down. I go, the city shut down. They blocked out the city. I can't get anybody across the bridge. I just left it at that because I didn't want to argue with him, let alone deal with what's going on. But he wanted to do a show. I also had a Lebanese comic calling me for work within a few hours.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I'm like, really, today? But you're a comic, so I understand. But I remember talking to Saad. And I remember Saad and I probably had some macabre jokes, because that's how you deal with something like that, especially if you're a comic. You say inappropriate things to each other.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. This
I could never say on stage, but even that was too soon. I couldn't get the first joke out till at least, I would say, a month.
Oh, really? You seemed all right when you were talking to me.
Yeah, but that's you.
Yes. but that's before social media, before we all regurgitated this stuff.
Right.
Before... But the reason I'm talking about this, I remember you shortly after 9/11, you went on various television shows to talk about the Muslim experience, what you were going through, because I remember President Bush came out and said, you know, do not treat our Muslim Americans in a bad way. These are not the problems. And some people in Texas promptly attacked a Sikh at a gas station because they're bright.
Nice going.
So... The long way to get to this is, have you noticed a difference in tone from the aftermath of 9/11 to what we're seeing now post-Paris, post-ISIS? Have you seen a difference in America's attitude?
Well, I wish I did. It's like when that was 18 years ago and whatever, 15 years ago, you do the math. But I wish it had stopped. It's so strange that I'm still talking about the same things now that I was talking about 14 years ago.
Do you think, like, for me, not being Muslim, but to me, it seems like the rhetoric is even more intense now than it was post 9/11.
I think it was very intense post 9/11. Then it went down mostly, and now it's reached the same level. But in the intervening years, it wasn't that bad. I would say by 2004, 2005, I wouldn't say it was that bad. now there's a lot of visceral hate out there. I don't understand why.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it's fear-based. It's not logical. I know you're a very logical person, but it's based on emotion. Well, I'm sure you hear this a lot. We heard it then. We hear it now, where people say moderate Muslims must do more to speak out against Islamic radicals. Is that a fair statement?
Well, first of all, they are speaking out, and everyone is speaking out. But what's the point? Like, if I go out and I speak out against radical Islam, there was a cartoon about this, I can just call up ISIS and say, hey, ISIS, you know, I'm speaking out against you. Stop. It's not like they're going to listen to me.
Well, but
I can't tweet at ISIS, and if they get all their followers say stop bombing, they're going to listen to me.
But I mean, the argument could be made that if you're saying this in mosques, you know, if this is being conveyed to the young impressionable people who ISIS targets, they, if you know, people are speaking out in that situation, go, hey, we're not for this. That it can make a difference. Are you seeing that in your mosque? Are you seeing people talking out, speaking out against this?
Yes, but it's not going to change anything. If you're a violent person, you're going to do violence. Just like if you're a violent Christian, you're going to do violence. You're going to go into theaters and shoot people. It's regardless of if you're Muslim or Jewish or Christian. If you're a violent, evil, mentally disturbed person, you're going to go around killing people. Talking to you and doing all this stuff is not going to... Going on social media or trying to preach to you will not make a difference.
You mean if I have a hashtag, it's not going to solve anything? I thought that
no,
did.
No, unfortunately, no. Hashtag no more terrorism won't stop anything.
Oh, that's a crying shame.
But I think they were going to be doing a demonstration of Muslims that get radical Islam. I think there was a gentleman that was arranging it for Washington, D.C., just to, as a show in numbers that, you know, the Muslim community is peaceful and is very concerned and, you know, is very outspoken.
But
this
was a point I had on your deleted thread on Facebook when you would put the Islamophobe and say, why don't they speak out? And I told you, well, they are speaking out. So now it seems like you've researched a little bit more.
I researched a little bit more, and basically what it is the media hasn't been prevalent with it. That's one of the reasons. And he had an interview with a Muslim leader that is putting together a demonstration in Washington of Muslims speaking out against radical Islam. Which I think, which gives a perception, even with the people that are naysayers, just a perception that the people, you know, the people of this country that are Muslim are very concerned with this, and you are united with the rest of the populace on this.
Now, Saad, I have contended that the reason we don't have a lot of the homegrown terrorists like we see in Europe and other parts of the world is because we do a better job of integrating our Muslim community, where if you know you want to come here and live your version of the American dream, you're free to do that. I think that's why a message like ISIS isn't as appealing to some of the teens here. What do you say to that?
I say to some extent you're correct, but I think it also depends on social and economic status. In France and Belgium, the Muslims who are coming in are living and have much fewer opportunities. So I think it has more to do with what else you can do. The U.S. is right now has a reasonably robust economy. You can get jobs, and if you can get a job and make some money and, you know, get your iPhone and tweet, you're more less likely to be radicalized.
But in
Europe, the people who are not integrating in have fewer opportunities over there, which is what it's reflecting in.
But isn't that also because they're not able to, because they're segregated into their own little communities where you know they're dealing with racism and xenophobia, where traditionally we don't do that here. I mean, you could come here, nobody's going to ask you what your religion is, and if you want to open up a store, or in your case, be an engineer, you have that opportunity.
Right. I would say America in general, it seems to me, again, I don't know what's going on in Europe, at least from my personal experience and from people I've come in contact with, does do a reasonably good job in integrating people in and giving people opportunities.
We are talking to Saad Sawana, Pakistan's number one comic, talking about the current Muslim experience in the United States. Saad, President Obama has gotten some flack for not calling it a war against Islamic terrorists. To me, it's just semantics. What am I missing? Or am I missing something?
Well, he he's trying to say it's a war. What's he saying? It's a war against terrorists.
He will not call them Islamic terrorists. He will not throw the word Islam in front of terrorists. And he gets a lot of even from both sides at this point, but especially from the right, he gets a lot of flack over that. Should he be saying Islamic terrorists?
I wouldn't care if he says Islamic terrorists as long as he has the word terrorist in there.
I kind of agree with you. I think
I would too.
Here's the problem. It's not a problem. It's the way Islam is set up. Like in Christianity, there's a hierarchy. If the Pope says you're Catholic, you're Catholic. There's a hierarchy. In Islam, it's both a good thing and a bad thing. There is no structure, and that's deliberate because it's everyone's personal relationship directly to God. You don't speak through an intermediary, through a sheikh or a priest or a rabbi. You speak directly to God. So if you say you're a Muslim, I, as a Muslim, cannot say you're a non-Muslim. Because it's between you and God, and I'm not supposed to judge you.
All right.
Therefore, someone who's a crazy madman who goes around killing people calls themselves Islamic. I can say they're un-Islamic, but I don't really have any official capacity, or there's no official hierarchy which can say, well, I'm sorry, these people are not Muslims. Because there is no structure set up that way. It's more of a flat structure with just God at the top, and he speaks directly to all the disciples.
Well, we don't want you to go anywhere. Saad's going to hang out with us. We got another segment with Saad coming back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. More with Saad, and then later on, we're going to talk about the CNN reporter that got suspended for posting their opinion, and we're going to be talking about tipping with Vincent from Portobello's of Oakland, New Jersey. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. We are joined today by Saad Sirwana, a Muslim American. We are talking about what it's like right now, honestly, to be a Muslim in the United States. Saad's enlightened us, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. So when we last left, I was talking about President Obama's refusing to use the term Islamic in front of terrorists when he describes them. And Saad said he's got no problem with it as long as he just calls them terrorists, which we all kind of agree with. No reason to be sensitive. I thought this one, Saad, was the most interesting. Hillary Clinton's use. This was her phrase. I don't know if you heard this one, Saad. Radical jihadist. Isn't a jihadist a radical automatically, Saad?
You could never be wrong by saying things twice. Two great things that taste bad together.
So it's like peanut butter and chocolate. It's like the Reese's Pieces of labeling terrorists. All right.
Right.
Oh, there we go. I've been wrong. I've been corrected.
Yes.
So you said earlier that of late you've seen it ramp up again, the hostility, the paranoia. Have you experienced of late any discrimination because that you're a Muslim?
No, because I try to hang around with people who aren't racist, but that's just me.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes racism,
sometimes, you know, sometimes I see Facebook posts from people who I know who are extremely racist, and I always think whether I should call them up on it or just unfriend them, and then I'm still thinking about what I should do, because I really don't want to get into a shouting match.
Well, what we do is we try to document how wrong they are, and then we get into a Facebook war. That's what we do, Saad. So you're probably wise because we're running out of time to do important things in our life because we're arguing over this stuff. Now, do your kids go to public school or do they go to a madrasa?
Public school. There are no madrasas. Unfortunately, there is no Sharia law in the U.S. and madrasas. And I hate to tell you this, but unfortunately, that's the truth. And I hate to also tell you this, but most of the Western law is based on Sharia law. So that's just my thing.
Well, you were pissing people off all over America with that statement, mister.
What?
I'm not going to fact check that one. I'll let Saad stand by that one way or the other.
Well, for example, you know what Sharia law says? One statement in Sharia law says that you should not kill people. Doesn't Western law say that as well?
Well,
in a matter of fact, you are obeying Sharia law, and Sharia law predates the U.S. law. Right? So where did you get it from?
No, no, that Jesus came here.
We got it from one of the commandments, thou shalt not
kill. No, Jesus was our first president. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. No, we got that one from the Jews. You can't claim that one, Saad.
Right? But the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims follow the same operating system. They're just different hardware.
Yeah, I like that.
There's no place for in our country for this type of logic.
No. I don't know how to talk to this guy.
So your kids are in a public school. Have they experienced any sort of discrimination? Because I know you have two small children.
Yeah, my kids are five. I don't think the most thing he worries about is, you know, missing his school bus or seeing a train. He's up, you know.
But are you worried though? Because I mean, kids get it from their parents. Are you worried that, you know, he's going to experience some taunting or whatever?
So far, it hasn't gotten to that. I'm hoping it doesn't, but we'll deal with the situation when it arises. I'm trying to train him to be a proud Muslim and be proud of his faith, so hopefully that training will come to fruition.
Okay. This is such a hot button topic in this country these days. Should we be accepting these refugees from Syria? What do you think?
Well, we are celebrating Thanksgiving, so, and what was that? It was just refugees coming in and taking over, so.
Yeah, and we saw how that worked out for the ones that were living here.
It turned out very well for the refugees, so.
It worked out well, but that's what everybody's afraid of. It's going to work out well for the rest of you. We're going to be relegated to casinos. We can't have them come here. We're going to be on our own little reservations. Joe already has a drinking problem. He's halfway there.
Don't let him near the guns.
Once again, Saad has shined a bright light on what's going on.
Yes.
So, Joe, how long have you known Saad?
Oh God! As long as you,
no more, because I'm
maybe a little.
A little longer, maybe a year or two longer.
I would say about what, Saad? 17 years? I would say is a fair assessment.
Yeah, 17 years, I would say.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. So I'm going to ask you a question. You're the very proud, pronounced Donald Trump supporter.
Yes.
On this show, you wave the banner proudly for better or for worse.
Really? He supports Donald Trump? Okay, I have to unfriend him.
Will you stop?
Listen, Joe does a lot of things that's worth unfriending. But that kind of goes back to the conversation we were having before. You don't know. Saad never would have known what Joe's political beliefs, and if it wasn't, well, for the radio show in this case, but oftentimes it's social media.
Right.
But Saad and Joe have been friends for 17, 18 years. So I want Joe to tell Saad why Donald Trump is correct and that Saad should have to register in a database.
Well, it's not a thing about Donald Trump being correct. Basically, there are things in that you can't do. Okay. However,
do you agree with the database?
I agree. Yes and no. Now let me explain myself. Trump is an idea man, and idea men will come out with this big, grandiose idea. Some of it makes sense. Some of it is perplexing. Some of it is preposterous. But in that idea, it gets whittled down into something that is working. Maybe you can't do a database, but maybe you can do, you know, background checks to find.
Do you think that he was right to say Muslims should be registered in a database?
No, he was wrong on that.
Okay.
But the idea, the getting that idea out there, it's like when, you know, when people say, let's go to the moon. You can't go to the moon. But you get it, and not that it's the same, but an idea. Trump is
well, no, this
idea,
is discrimination, one
but
science.
But it's getting a dialogue started. Should we have? Maybe we should. But he gets people talking.
I think
that's what a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, but he's riling people up towards hate. You know Saad. You've known him for a third of your life, essentially. You know he's a good man, but some of these ideas, as you like to call them, affect people like Saad. So I want you to tell Saad why he's right, why Trump is right.
But Trump is right because he's getting...
Joe, let me ask you this. Was the U.S. right in registering Japanese into internment camps in World War II?
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Now, the reason that they were, don't cover your eyes. No, I'll tell you why.
That's your ears.
Okay, don't cover your ears.
But
people don't realize at the time you work off of what you know at the time. At that time, we didn't know this was we're being.
But you know, the man that we're talking to is a good Muslim American.
Okay,
you know that the statement was Muslims should register based on their religion. You can't just discount it. Well, it's an idea.
It was. It is an idea, and it's
yes,
an idea
okay.
of
so
how
wait,
to.
Wait, going back, Joe.
Yeah.
What human beings do is when they work up the information they have at that time, and then they learn from their mistakes, right? So you made a mistake, and you learned from it, right? You learned from it. For example, when the Jews were coming in into the U.S., again, people were against those refugees coming into America,
mm-hmm.
right? Einstein wouldn't have come. So many people wouldn't have come. People were against it. Nothing happened, and you learned from it.
Right, but
there's
two
key. If you have prior history and you've done something wrong to some people, you learn from it so that next time when you're in the same situation, you can say, hey, you know, so many years ago we did something wrong. Let's not make the same mistake again.
Right, but the dynamic is a skosh different in the aspect that of the Japanese Americans that were registered and gathered up in the internment camps. Basically, that was people that were here already. In regards to the refugees coming in, if you've got 10,000 refugees coming in, and on the lowest.
He's
figure,
not talking about just the refugees. He was not talking about just the refugees.
Okay, all right. So not just the refugees, but get a dialogue in where, like I said, it's a lot of the things that Trump said on that. Some of it are not, you know, constitutionally correct. Some you can't do. But the dialogue
is not constitutionally correct. They cannot be enacted by the president of the United States. He's the upholder of the Constitution.
Right, but it's the idea on the grand scale, on the macro scale.
The grand
bringing
scale of the idea is let's break the Constitution, right?
Right, but basically
that's the idea. That's who we want to elect.
Well, not essentially breaking the Constitution, Saad. It's like the general idea. Taking it and making it where it would be something that's workable on both. It's
well,
getting the idea out there.
I'll give you another country where it was workable. We were actually talking about in the first portion of the show, not the terrestrial portion, but there was a databases and surveillance. Oh, what, the Jews and Nazi. That's where else it was a workable solution.
Yeah, but on that end, the Jew, there wasn't an element there that could be a terrorist on that. That was
it
out
was,
and out.
It was an element of fear. It was people scared. That's what they played
but
on.
But there's an element of fear. And I don't understand how people could see what's going on in Europe right now and then turn around and say, well, you know, trying to do any of this or skosh of it is racist. It just seems
well,
that it's a self-preservation
thing. We're not talking about protection. We're talking about, and you're listening to Davin's then filling in for Coffee Talk. Saad Sirwana, Pakistan's number one comic, is hanging out with us right now. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about registering people based upon their religion. It's not anything. It's not like, hey, we should have heightened airport security and we should really vet these people. That's very reasonable. I'm with you on that. We're talking.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know how long the vetting process is for any refugee coming in?
1.5 to 2 years. 1.5 to 2 years, and they go to Guam.
Look about people who are coming in, refugees. The translators who helped the troops in Afghanistan still have not made it here because of the vetting process. And those are the most patriotic Americans. They help the most patriotic people in this country. And they have not been allowed to come in because of these background checks. That's how strict the background checks are. But even people who help U.S. soldiers, who save their lives, are not allowed to come in.
Now, do you think that's fair that the refugees are being just ushered in?
They're not.
They're not being pushed in.
They're not.
What I'm trying to tell you is the vetting process takes such a long time that you can't even get people who have clearly helped the U.S. troops for years, who have given their lives, who have taken immense risks.
But
see, that's how strong the vetting process is.
But Saad, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit the point that all. That doesn't play into my picture that all Muslims are evil. I don't understand that you're painting a different picture. That maybe we shouldn't use broad strokes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh
I
my
don't
goodness.
Know why that didn't come through?
Do you feel there's an imminent danger to us right now from the Muslims that are in the country?
Just as much danger from the psychopaths who go around shooting people with guns as you are from a Muslim terrorist. There have been more crimes against people with guns shooting around killing people than U.S. terrorists since 9/11.
Now, do you feel, in light of recent events...
If you take a broader... Just because if you exclude 9/11, you can take an even bigger stroke. And if you go by 50 years, then you can even include 9/11, and you'll still end up with more people being killed by homegrown terrorists with guns going around shooting people, even if you take into account the thousands of people massacred on 9/11.
But Saad, guns don't kill guns. People with guns kill people.
Buddy, you screw that up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something.
Boy, you got on the old you got the old soapbox on that one,
terrorists.
Boy. You stink.
All terrorists, Islamic terrorism is minuscule in the U.S.
It really, and I think that goes back. I think that goes back to the point that we do such a good job of integrating people here, and that's why I refuse to give into this type of fear, because I think when we give into the type of fear, the fear that Donald Trump is running on, by the way, Jeb Bush was right. It's a very negative campaign. I think when we start having fear, I mean, you got to be cautious, but to not trust your neighbor, to look cross-eyed at them, that's a win to the terrorists. That's why they're called terrorists. They want to create.
Everyone knows their fear is a badge to their dark side.
Yes. And I was thinking about that the other day. It's a Star Wars thing, but it's true.
Well, you know, if you do your if on that thing, bringing it from the macro scale down to the micro scale, like I said, a lot of what Trump said, is a little far-fetched, but bringing it down where...
he's the number one Republican candidate, and they're backing him up. He could say whatever he wants, and people go, you see it on your friends' postings. They think it's the greatest thing ever.
But the thing about it is, in the grand scheme, the whole thing is bringing it down to a level where you don't make everybody register, but you do have the tools to people that are suspected, or people of interest that you concentrate.
You have those tools. You don't have to isolate Muslims for that. You have those tools already. You make anybody who's dangerous, who's a psychopath who might go around killing people, you watch them. And if they're in a danger, you arrest them. It doesn't have to be whether they're Muslim or Christian or Jewish.
But you want to know something where it works out in a good way? Bringing up the points that you brought up. And like I said, as the discussions, you bring up this big idea. It's essentially what we're discussing right now, Saad. If you bring up the idea, this is far, and you can't do that, and people like yourself bring up these points, it gets to the forefront, and it actually brings...
It does not drown out Donald Trump.
But
there are people... Listen, I will give you this. I mean, I don't agree with most of what you say politically, but you will, on occasion, listen and process and reform your opinion. Sometimes no, but a lot of times yes, when you get new information.
Right.
But there's a lot of people, and probably on both sides too. I just happen to notice it on the right, because that's usually who I'm fighting with, but I'm sure it's on the left as well. But when you get to these... far left and right, and Trump is playing to the far right. That's where the Republicans are playing right now. They're not processing the way you process. What Trump says is red meat, and it's dangerous.
I guess I look at it a different way, because I like I said, he's a bit, you're a bit, you get an idea for your place, you know, we want to do that, well, we can't do it that bit. Then you scale it down, it's like this. And then you have people on staff like Saad that would say, all right, well, you know we do that. And then
he don't have them on staff. But shouldn't we expect a president or a presidential candidate to deal with nuance? I mean, shouldn't we expect that?
And
constitutionality.
But Obama burned that years
but
ago.
But that's the he's a grandiose person. That's what you know. He says grandiose things,
right? But
he's a builder. That's the way they think.
I think you're making excuses for him.
I'm not making excuses. I'm making an explanation. An excuse is like, no, he doesn't think like that. And I don't know where you guys even get that idea.
Well, the news.
I'm explaining. Yes, the news. But basically, I'm explaining why he has ideas. A guy like that has these big, grandiose ideas, and then you scale it back to something that's practical. That's the way people like that think.
Listen, we're going to move on from that. But I think you're twisting yourself to make what he says okay.
No, and it's
because I don't think you think the way he. I don't even think he thinks the way he's saying he thinks. But I don't think you think that way. But I think people want to support this guy so much that they're twisting himself, because you know Saad's a good man. You've had meals with Saad. You've toured around. You know.
Not only is Saad a good man, he's an absolutely brilliant man. He's written papers. I mean, when we used to do shows, Peter Bales is also a professor. They used to sit and goof on each other on who's going to get their paper published.
Right.
And you sit there feeling like an imbecile. Right. You're even in the room with these guys.
But listen to this. Listen to this. You know this about this man.
Yes.
Yet you're supporting a person who paints with broad strokes. You have a more nuanced view than your president.
But what about that cell of some people that might be in Missouri somewhere that's bent on destroying a building?
We had a terrorist at McVeigh. Wasn't a Muslim terrorist. Yeah, here's the thing that mass murders and terrorists have in common. They're nuts. They're nuts. Let's deal with the people that are nuts. Forget about the religious affiliation. Let's deal with the insanity.
But deal with people who are nuts. And if you find a cell, just recharge it.
So I'll be here all the week.
Spoken like a true engineer.
Still got the cut. I love him. I always have.
He loves you, but really, you really should register.
Nah, we can let him go.
You're one of the good ones.
You beat me. I hate you.
You're like Sammy Davis Jr. in Archie Bunker's house.
You are speaking to us under lock and key, aren't you?
Hey there, Sammy. You left your bag in my cab there.
All right, Sod, because we got to wrap this up. If you're listening to this on AM or FM, we're going to have the full interview with Sod on the internet. You go to davinsden.com, so just so you know. But, Sod, what do you think the average American who does not have the privilege of living in a place like we do by New York City, which is so diverse, so we get to meet Muslims and Muslim Americans and Muslim immigrants, what should people who aren't exposed to the Muslims, as I say, what should they know? What?
Why did you just say you people?
So in the middle of the road, you scold me, you know, the Muslims.
The Muslims.
Them people.
Yeah. You people.
What should they know about you people?
What they should know about Muslims in general is that we're people just like you. We stand up and pee just like you. We wipe our ass the same way, although sometimes we use water. But, you know, we prefer bidets, but that's okay. But that's the only thing that's different, the way we wipe our ass. Aside from that, we're the same as you.
All right. So there you go. You've heard it from a Muslim American who happens to be an engineer.
And I've learned about hygiene.
Yes. We now know how they don't like two-ply. They like a strong flow of water. We've Sod, what's your website? I know you got a website going. What's your website?
Yeah, my website is Pakcomic, PAKCOMIC, Pakcomic.com, and you can watch me probably the new season of Outrageous Acts of Science on the Science Channel starting February 2016, and repeats usually play on Wednesday nights on the Science Channel.
Awesome. Thank you, Sod, for taking some time and I want to say imparting some wisdom to the conversation, if you will. Check out Sod, and if you happen to be where, check him out in the Science Channel. Also, if you happen to catch him doing comedy, very funny man.
Very, very funny.
Sod, thank you. All the best to you and your family. We appreciate this. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Abbott.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that was really good.
Yeah, very
All right,
good.
Guys. You are listening to Davin's Den filling in for Coffee Talk. That was a great conversation. We're going to shift gears just a skosh when we come back. We're going to talk about a CNN reporter who is banned from CNN for posting a tweet. Shame, shame, shame. We are back. We are Davin's Den. Of course, we're filling in for Coffee Talk as we do. It has been a very emotional, intense, and funny show thus far. So we might as well continue with the uncomfortableness of it all. It's kind of what I does. So we are all of us. We don't agree on many things, but all of us do agree on free speech for the most part. We
yes.
are all pro free speech. I think we can agree on that. So a CNN reporter was suspended. She was her name is Elise Labatt. She's a global affairs correspondent. So on Thursday, the House of Representatives had a vote on whether we should make it harder for Syrian refugees to enter the country. We just had a little bit of that conversation before in the last segment.
Right.
So the White House has threatened to veto it, but many Democrats joined the Republicans, and they passed the bill that would effectively suspend the admission of Syrian and Iraqi refugees to the U.S. So this is what she tweeted. House passes bill that could limit Syrian refugees. Statue of Liberty bows head in anguish. She was then forced to apologize. And she wrote, everyone, it was wrong of me to
editorialize.
That's the word. What they said.
That thing there. Yeah.
We need the Pakistani to speak English for me.
Yes.
It was wrong of me to editorialize. Forget it.
That thing.
Speak your mind.
Thanks, Joe. My tweet was inappropriate and disrespectful. I sincerely apologize. So CNN has a policy of not doing that word I can't say. Some of the anchors, we know, they get a little bit more leeway.
Right.
They'll go out on a limb. So, think reporters should be able to express their opinion.
It depends. If it's a person that like a Hannity, or
well, he's not a reporter. He's a pundit.
All right.
Well, that's what he calls it. He's a pundit.
Yeah, Hannity or O'Reilly. You expect that out of that. Out of a reporter, they should keep their opinions neutral.
I kind of agree with that. I although I don't know if all the other networks adhere to that as much. I kind of agree that I don't want my reporters giving their take on things. Now, where I would say maybe it's a little bit different here is Democrats join the Republicans. So you could say it really wasn't a partisan thing she was revealing. She was just revealing her personal...
Right, and it was her personal opinion because what she said was... The whole thing is that Democrats joined Republicans passing a bill that would effectively suspend the admission of Syrian and Iraqi refugees to the U.S. All right. Leave it there. Adding Statue of Liberty bows head in anguish. That's a personal opinion. That's not hers to comment on.
But she did it on her social media. She didn't do it on the air. I think if she does it on the air, if she editorializes on the air, it's a little worse. It's her social media.
It's under her own name.
Right.
So you would think...
So didn't she be allowed to have her own free thoughts under her own name?
You would think that... I mean, as long as she wasn't speaking against her employer, because we've all seen how people get in trouble with that all the time.
Well, we see it when teachers, like, you know, expose themselves for more or less on Facebook and they get fired. It's like a conduct. Now, CNN had a rule. They had a rule that you can't do this. So under that, I can kind of go, all right, well, CNN had the rule and she knew.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with them suspending her because they have a rule.
They already had a rule and she knew that was – it's sort of like your employment contract. You're agreeing with certain terms. And if part of the certain terms for your very visual public job is that you are not allowed to voice your own opinion on news stories, you're just allowed to speak what is the actual story, well, then she went violated the conditions.
Yeah, she did. And I think it's a lack of common sense because it would discredit her as a reporter, where a reporter is...
Yeah, but we've seen such the blurring of lines between yes. news, what's news and what's opinion. I contend that, and then we got to take a break. I contend that if the CNN reporter was expressing an opinion that was pro-conservative, Fox News would have taken this and run with it and said it was a violation of her freedom of speech. I think that's how they would have done it. Am I wrong?
I don't know if they would do that, but if Fox did it, they would be wrong to do that. Because as a reporter, as least a field reporter, you're supposed to be a very unbiased. You're O'Reilly, you're Hannity, those are pundits, they're supposed to be. But your regular reporter's is not.
And Fox has a couple of those, too. They have Shepard Smith, who I like. All right. We got one more segment to go. We are having a blast with you. You are listening to Davin's and filling in for Coffee Talk. When we come back, we'll be talking with Vincent of Portobello's in Oakland, New Jersey. Tipping! Should we tip or not tip? You be the judge. We're back. You are listening to Davin's Den filling in for Coffee Talk. It's been a great show so far, and we're going to close it out really strong as well, because joining us in studio is Vincent from Portobello Banquets in Oakland, New Jersey, and Portobello's. They got two locations on the same property. It's awesome. How are you, Vincent?
Very good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining us, Vincent. So what I really wanted to talk about, I saw this on the news a couple of weeks ago, that Joe's Crab Shack is doing away with tipping. They're going to pay their servers a higher hourly wage. I want to say it was about $12 an hour, and they're eliminating tipping. So what percentage of a server's income comes from tips in your experience?
All of it. I mean, we're required to pay. They receive all of their tips. We're required to pay a certain minimum that the state and the federal government requires us to pay. In New Jersey, it's $2.13 an hour, and then they receive the tip credit, which is all of their tips they've earned. And as it relates to the federal minimum wage, it has to meet that, and we have to notify them of that.
So, do you like this idea of giving your servers a higher wage and passing the increase along to the customers? Because they said it'd be about 15-20% increase on the average menu price.
Correct. I would say it's dependent on each location. Our location, I would say they could make upwards three times that.
So you think it would actually hurt them?
It's possible that it very much hurt them. This is a system that I know has been in place in Europe, in the United States. This could be a difficult situation. Obviously, a radical change like this, the customer experience is hurt. The employees.
But wait a minute. Why would the customer experience be here? I mean, they still have managers. I mean, I mean, I do my job. I don't expect a tip. You do your job as a manager. You're not expecting a tip. Why should my experience in a restaurant be hurt just because they're not getting a gratuity?
Well, we've been using a system for so long where they work. They're almost like a salesperson. They go up to the table. They are compensated based on the experience the customer has. And
but that's such an unsure. I mean, there are servers that give great service and they get no tip. It's so uncertain. How do you pay your bills if you don't know? You're basically paying your bills on the generosity of others.
Well, for the most part, basically a lot of people do give a good tip.
I don't think that's true.
I think
at a place like Portobello's. Portobello's is a higher end restaurant.
Right.
So the bills are going to be higher. They're going to get a higher wage. It's probably why you're saying they make three times as much. You go to your average diner, the bill doesn't come through as much. You're not having people with as much money eating there.
I agree. Diners tend to do a lot of volume. If
they
they're not, they're not in business.
That's true.
Yes.
So if they do make, you know, $5, $6, $7 average per table, but they have 30 or 40 tables.
Yeah, but they're not getting 30 to 40 tables. What do you think?
Well, throughout a day, if they do work 8 to 10 hours a day, what this does is we have a certain standard in the United States that we tip by. Could be 15%. Could be as low as 10%, but we know as a diner that we go out and we tip in a certain range based on our bill. Mm-hmm. Very rare, unless there is a bad experience, is the tip less than.
But especially like if you're dealing with college kids very often don't tip well. So they might hang out in a diner at a table for an hour and a half, nursing some cheese fries and a coffee and leaving nothing, and that table's been. It's very uncertain.
It is uncertain, but I think it's the law of averages that at the end of the day, it does average out. And as it relates to the government, as long as the employee, the server, makes over a certain wage, which makes over minimum wage while serving. So let's say in New Jersey, it's $2.13 an hour. And then their tip, which is the tip credit, brings it above $7.25. You know, the government's fine with it. They technically should be fine with it. They may not be happy about receiving that, but inevitably, they're making more than that.
And I would feel that the incentive is there, regardless of the restaurant, for the server to give the best service possible due to the incentive of working towards getting a tip, regardless
but
if we get it
but
or
really,
not.
But really, wait service is the only one where we have to incentivize people to do a good job. You have a job. Well, sales people work on commission. Sales with commission, and then you got wait staff on tips. Most of us do our job because we want to keep on working.
But the thing about it is, at the end of the day or the end of the year, you do get reviewed, and your performance throughout the year is dependent on your review. Your boss will sit down.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with tips.
In a non-service business, you do the best job you can, so your boss knows you're doing the best job, so that would be reflected upon your review, a raise every year.
How about we
so
all just do the best thing. Job we can, no matter the job? I think we owe that to the people who are employing us.
But in a perfect utopia, yes, that is correct. But in the real world, people do the best job because there is an incentive of pay to do that better job. It adds to better performance, a better experience at a restaurant, a better experience, most anywhere.
See, I would prefer to pay more for something as opposed to leaving a tip. So if my price went up 10, 15, 20% on a hamburger, whatever I got, or a steak at your place, I would prefer to pay more so I don't have to worry about the tip.
But if I'm getting subpar service, now I'm paying for service.
I'm still complaining to the manager.
But you know what? If you're getting subpar service, you should pay for subpar service. You're not to be expected
when the plumber comes over and doesn't do a good job, you don't give him less money.
Yeah, well, but I don't throw them. But you know what, though? I usually throw those guys, because I was in the service business. You throw those guys at 10 or 20. If those guys
don't
do
rarity.
A great job.
I don't think. Because I don't
know.
Are you tipping the cable guy?
I'm not really the rarity.
Again, based on their performance.
Yeah.
And if you have a lazy wait staff in a restaurant that is rude to customers and doesn't do a good job, you're not going to go back to that restaurant again.
Right. But generally, when you're tipping, there's an incentive there to do well. And it's almost like an inherent commission, where all diners in the United States know that they should be tipping in a certain range, and that is inherently known by the server and the diner who's having dinner, and it's an incentive for the server to work hard, provide good customer service, give them the best experience that they possibly can, recommend something that they've never tried had, and at the end of the day, make the customer happy, and as a result of that, they're compensated based on that.
Based on their performance.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. We want to thank you, Vincent, of Portobello's in Oakland, New Jersey, for coming in and shedding some light on this. Vincent, what's the website?
It is portobellonj.com.
Definitely go there. They have great staff. I know personally. Work there all the time. Eat there all the time. Love it. Also want to thank Saad Sirwana for shedding some light on the whole Muslim American. I enjoyed the give and take he had with Joe. Wednesday, December 2nd, live comedy at Andiamo in Haworth, New Jersey, starring Dennis Ross. For reservations, call 201-384-1551. 201-384-1151. We want to thank you guys for hanging out with us. Again, of course, this is Davin's Den, filling in for Coffee Talk. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.